We put on two plays a year. We had a Christmas program, and we'd always have to learn our music for that, and then the spring program. And then in the lower grades, we tried to learn something about the classical music, like the or the operettas that, I can't think of the one we had, Suite, what was that? The one with the mountain. I can't think of that.
Nutcracker Suite?
But I remember we drew pictures and had that program.
Okay, so they learned something.
And they learned about the instruments, and especially in the junior high, we had books where they learned about all the instruments and the different expression marks in music and the composers. And then in high school we just did the vocal work.
I see. That brings us to your programs. We know that your programs, your operettas were very famous throughout the area. Where did you get your ideas?
Well, I sort of lived it all year long. Music that I thought was real catchy and that the children would like, I'd write that down. Or if I saw a good dance step on TV, I'd use that. And after playing for gym classes at Northern when I was going there, well, I got a lot of my ideas from there, too.
Can you tell us about any specific programs that you really remember well that were perhaps your biggest hits?
Well, I think the one that my sister and I wrote, I really enjoyed that because we had done our own music and our own the words to the play. And then I came out one weekend when Pat was going to a basketball game. And at that time, we didn't have nice drapery in the back. We had that scenery, and we covered it all with wrapping paper. And then I painted the mountains and the Aurora Borealis on it and fixed it up for that. So we had that play. I liked that one. And then I liked the last one, the year I retired. When we had the one with Robert Jacobson was a boy dressed as a girl. And I know Mr. Saring and Mr. Johnson spent all morning trying to figure out who did that girl belong to.
Could you tell us a little bit about it? What was the story?
Well, we had the most favorite class, and of course, Robert was the recess. But for each class, we had something. We had the gym, and we had the jumping rope and the song to go with it, and the arithmetic and the spelling. And we managed to get music to go with each one. I thought that one was good. I enjoyed doing that one most.
Okay, that's good. You mentioned your husband. He was a teacher here also, and a coach. Could you tell us a little bit about what he taught and a little bit about his coaching? What was the teams like?
Well, he worked real hard as a coach. Any of the boys had a sore back or anything, he'd drive out to see how they were and took good care of them. And I used to kind of dread the weekends. He never said very much. I did most of the griping if they lost, but if they won, it was a nice, happy weekend.
Oh, I see. When did they practice in those days?
After school.
They did practice after school?
Until 5:30. Okay. A lot of times, we walked in several times, rather than wait for our ride to Ishpeming.
Oh, you walked from here to Ishpeming?
Not too often, but every once in a while, just for something to. But they did all the practicing after school.
Oh. I remember when I was here, they practiced sometimes during the noon hour.
At noon hour, yeah.
Right.
But I enjoyed, I think I was really lucky to teach out here and have the job that I did because I was doing something that I really enjoyed, and then to have Pat here, be able to drive, and then to, and then he helped so much with the scenery, and I didn't feel as though I was bothering one of the other teachers or making them do anything. So
very good. Were you one of a few here? Were there more men teachers than women in those days, or were there more women than men?
were more women, especially in the grades, in the fifth and the sixth grade. You know, there were women teachers there. Now we have Mr.
Right. And you were married with children. What did people think of you working as a working mother in those days?
I don't know. I never heard any complaints. Of course, I had a good mother. That I didn't feel as though they were in the hands of babysitters that were, you know, too young or something.
You taught here for a long time, and because of that, you sometimes taught two generations in the same family. Did that cause any problems, or was it more interesting?
I think sometimes three. I remember being at something out here, and it must have been into three.
Three generations? Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. No.
Mm-hmm. No problem?
We were here so long that we just felt a part of the community, you know. I really think a small school is that's where I'd like my children to go. And my granddaughter will be coming here next year, so mm-hmm. she's thrilled to death.
Good. Do you remember any nicknames of kids or the teachers or practical jokes that you could tell us about that were done while you were here?
Mm-hmm.
Were the former students here famous for nicknames?
Oh, yes. I just can't, I was trying to think of Bernard Aho's nickname. Yeah. I can't think of too many, but I remember us mentioning, you know, we were given a nice name when we're baptized, and then they give them such funny ones afterwards. I can't think of any right now.
Do you remember the fire that took place there? Was that before your time?
That was before my time, but Pat used to talk about it, how they had to go to the different buildings around the churches and have school and run from one place to the other and take care of the fires, you know, and the stove to keep warm.
How many years did they have to do this before the new school was built? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember, but let's see, I asked Mrs. Magnuson, and she said the fire was in 1923, and they had school in the town hall. There were only three in the class that graduated, and that was Viola Chelman and Bill Chelman, I think, and Alice Felt. I don't know if that was Bill Chelman or not.
Okay.
And then in 1925, they had the new school.
How do you feel about the youth today? Do you think qualities have changed in youth compared to when you were teaching?
No, I think we have just as many good kids as then. You know, it's just that we hear more about the bad ones, and that's what spoils it for the others. I think there's a whole lot more to learn and more. And when I see all the equipment around the school here and all the we went all around the school last Saturday, and we said, boy, you were born 30 years too soon.
So kids have more opportunities.
Oh, yes, lots more
things to learn today.
And I think most of them take advantage of it.
Okay. How different do you feel the things that are being taught today have changed, or have they?
Oh yes, I think they get a lot more with all the new equipment to use too. Besides the, you know, the books and things, experiences and everything they have a lot more than they did when we were going. They didn't have. That's why I think maybe school was more interesting for us, because they enjoyed school when they came, and if there was anything going on in school, they put their heart and soul into it. You know,
there weren't
so many outside things. They didn't have a car to jump into it, or, you know. And same with basketball. They just loved, you know, they worked hard in there for basketball. And I never felt as though I had to get down on my knees and beg any of them to do this or do that for any of the programs. They were all really cooperative, I thought.
I'm at the end of my questions now.
Okay.
Can you say anything
else? I just
wanted
to think about the team of 29.
Now I want to get back to the basketball teams at National Line when your husband was teaching and coaching. Do you remember the basketball team of 1929?
I started in 1928, and that was the second year. I didn't really, I was just getting interested in school, and none of the teachers went down except just the coach and the
what happened
that I remember.
What happened that year with our team?
Well, they didn't win down there.
What? Okay.
You know,
but they did win in the Upper Peninsula.
Yeah, in the Upper Peninsula.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So they won the UP championship
in
their class.
Mm-hmm.
And how did they get downstate to play down there?
On the train.
They rode the train from Ishpeming?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you give us any details of the trip or the game?
Well, I did have a postcard from Pat. That was my first introduction. But I probably would know a lot more, you know, when we're talking about it then. But they had a big banquet afterwards when they came back. And that's one thing they always did. Every year the community threw a real nice supper for the team, the wives. They bought gifts for everybody. Every year they did that after the basketball tournament was over.
So you had a lot of support from the community.
We did.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to get back to some of the families that you remember. You taught more than one generation. Could you give us any names of those people?
The Moody's. I had Frank, and I had his son Frank,
uh-huh.
And Helen. And then, Frank's children, Frank Moody and Lynn.
Hold on a minute. You know, when you're talking about the basketball right there and going down, one, you get up and zoom in on that.
With the telegraph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want me to do that?
Can you rewind it a little bit?
Yeah, you can go. You could go back to that. Rewind it back to that, and then take off from there. Then. Right?
What?
Okay. Where she
this?
Was talking. Yeah. Well, she was talking about the basketball.
What?
They
oh,
tell us
that.
About that.
She's got these pictures of it.
Just erase.
So go back to that.
Got it on.
Stop. Rewind. Go all the way.
She could turn the book around and face it too, or would that be a glare?
Yeah.
Well,
that's a good picture.
I did have a postcard from that. It was my first training introduction.
Stop. That's all.
She's got it on there now. See what's
coming? Yeah, see now she said we what did you say, a postcard from Pat? Is that the postcard?
I haven't got my card, but these are telegram. There's one here from John D. Pierce from Don Bottom. John D. Pierce is pulling for you tonight. They always had a game scheduled with Pierce. And then here's one from Dr. Barnett. I don't know how many that are old enough to remember that.
You should maybe tell us who's in this.
Well, this doesn't belong with this.
Oh.
This was just one of the holes. And then congratulations from everybody. You can do it again. Wire time you played today. That was from the superintendent, Guy Scott. And then this one is from George Anila.
Let's see something here.
Maybe we should put it
here. Hold it something up, just like this.
Okay.
Let's see what you get this one here.
I really shouldn't have this one in here because that wasn't the... These are the younger kids.
Donnie's bottom, because they would know maybe.
Are you filming that now?
No, nothing to film yet.
because she should be telling what they are.
Yeah, well, are we all set now with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just tell me when.
All right.
Oh, well, I can turn this on whenever, and Sharon was the one who turned it on.
Yeah, you can turn it on, right?
And then come and zoom. Get them all there. And then maybe zoom in a couple of minutes as she talks.
Well, what's the fast zooming?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I can do that.
Okay, I'll start out and she can say what the. Well, I'm like this, and then I'll zoom in.
Yeah.
Okay, go back to her face. Now zoom back. Alright, right about there.
Okay.
Is that on, Alice? Yeah, that's on.
Okay. These are the telegrams that were received when the team went down to Detroit in 1929. There's one from Don Bottom, from John D. Pierce School. They always had a game with Pierce scheduled every year. And here's one from Dr. Barnett. Every older people will certainly remember him. And one from Mr. Scott, who was our superintendent at that time, and then one from George Anala, who was our principal for, I think it was 27 years he was here, wasn't it?
Okay. Sorry.
Shut it off.
Okay, now, what was that gonna work in?
Okay.
Shall we take off
on there?
Yeah, I just have to, I couldn't think of the hell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we play?
Is that going to take very long if we start it from the beginning now? Do you see where we are?
Here where we are right now, playing on. Money.
I think we need to get a lot more. There's all the new equipment to use too, besides the, you know, the books we do.
Okay.
We're going to get everything out of it. That's why I think maybe school was more interesting for us because they enjoyed school when they came, and there was anything going on in school, they put their heart and soul into it. You know, and then they didn't have so much to do, so many outside things, they didn't have their heart and soul into it. You know, and they were basketball, they just loved, you know, they worked hard in here for basketball. I never felt as though I had to get down on my knees and beg any of them to do this or do that for any of the programs that they were all doing. Well, one of the basketball teams that were at the line of the high school in the second quarter, do you remember the basketball team in 1929? It started in 1928, that was the second year. One from Mr. Scott, who was our superintendent at that time, and we went from George Allen, who was our principal for 27 years, he was here, wasn't he?
No, let's finish it up. No, what else do we want besides hot lunches? Oh, I was going to ask about the generation. No, that's where we started on Moody's.
Let's see. What?
That's what
you
was like that.
You have it running over there.
Okay, that was what
you have it running?
No.
Red light up? Okay. Oh,
I'm
going to
start about generations, right, and then I'll ask about hot lunches, and...
So we start filming
a group? I suppose I can't go back to nicknames. Maybe they can find out some of those on the... That's one of the things that
you want to
learn. Yeah, we're not going to get everything.
No.
I'm trying to remember everything.
Oh, 50
years.
Mr. Scott, who was our superintendent at that time, and we went from George Allen, who was our principal for 27 years, he was here, wasn't he?
It's Alice
Buckley.
Okay,
let's
okay.
The Cougars, though.
Yeah, the Cougars, yeah.
But you can continue on.
Yeah, okay.
You're still talking about basketball. And then when you talked about Dean Bottom, or Bottom Ball.
Don Bottom University.
You're going to have to relate that to the university if you want to make any sense out of it. Right?
Okay. Well.
Who was Don Bottom?
Well, I thought they would be John D. Pierce, wouldn't they? Didn't I said mention
yeah,
John D.
Yeah, but who knows what John D. Pierce is today?
Oh, that's right, too. Yeah.
Who was Don Bottom back then?
Well, he was the, he wasn't the coach, he was sort of the principal or something at the school there.
At what school?
At Northern there, the practice teaching.
At the Pierce School, probably.
Yeah, the Pierce School.
Okay. I mean, you have to say
see how young
like
you are, you don't even
know. No, what I'm saying is, you're going to have to say that. So the kids know that.
Yeah.
You know that, and maybe Alice knows that.
I don't know
that. But the kids don't know that.
Yeah.
And so that has to be brought out.
Yeah.
Okay. Are the uniforms any different than they were?
I'm sure they're made out of different materials, not as washable as they were.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you come back and you say something about Detroit.
How long did it take to get there? I'd like to know that. How long did it take to get to Detroit by train?
I don't have the faintest idea.
How many days were they gone for this? Did they only play one game? Did they lose the first game they played out there?
I don't remember that.
I know, Mrs.
I could, I could have had, all that information.
That's a start, though. We can dig up more about that.
Yeah.
And you can take that trophy out, too, and bring it in for the still have one of the grounds. But that's the trophy.
Oh, that could be. We could take a picture of that for the book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it, the first time.
Yeah.
Okay. Go.
But Alice, when she says Detroit, you could say, well, today you put on my things, and that's all the kids know the difference.
I'm going
to have to rewind that a little bit.
Well,
if
you start talking,
see, I'll go back to that. Yeah, the kids might not, know why you're saying Detroit.
You say the regional playoffs were in Detroit, or the state championship was in Detroit? Is that what they were playing with the state? I thought it was more than just the state. I thought it was like a Midwest championship.
No.
No?
Given the details of the trip, or... Well, I did have postcards in fact. It was my first trip. I was telegrammed that the team went down to Detroit in 1929. They went from Don Bottom, from John D. Pierce School. They always had a name of Pierce scheduled every year. And he won from Dr. Barnett when all the people were sitting on the other hand.
And asked about the size of the class. Like you mentioned once, there was only a 3-in-1 class.
Yeah.
What was the normal size class?
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Three
with
the
team
to
play, Johnny Pierce is one team. They have a song.
You mentioned the team went to Detroit for the state playoff. Nowadays, the games are played at Lansing. Do you remember how long the team was gone to Detroit? How long it took them to get there to play the game and then to get back here in National League? How many days?
Well, it was 3 or 4 days. I don't remember. I don't think it was a full week.
They were gone 3 or 4 days.
At least 4 days.
Okay. You mentioned Don H. Bottom, who was the principal at that time of John Pierce School. Where was the school located?
Well, that was a part of the campus at Northern, where they did their practice teaching. The students, that instead of going to the different schools like they do now, they were doing their practice teaching right there.
And it was a regular school, and they had a basketball team?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When our team went to play Johnny Pierce, then where did they play the games?
They had a gym there.
It was at
mm-hmm.
the Northern
mm-hmm.
Michigan gym?
Mm-hmm.
So they played right mm-hmm. in the NMU. Wasn't NMU
no,
there,
had,
but
they had there was a smaller gym there, because we had some of our gym classes in there when I was going.
Oh, I see. Can you remember any of the other schools that National Line played at the time that you were teaching? What were some of the places that they traveled to or that came here to play?
Rapid River, up the line there, Amasaw, Trout Creek, St. Paul's, Nagani.
Okay, what about cheerleaders? The girls that are cheerleaders that all will be interested in cheerleaders back then. Did you have cheerleaders or did they
go
along
with the team? No, they had cheerleaders, but they didn't go, at first they didn't go with the team. But they had to make sure that the girls were in one bus or back in some way. They didn't want the boys to be disturbed.
Did the boys always go on a bus to their games?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Usually took the bus. Okay. They did take a bus. Mm-hmm. Boys. Were the fans?
You know, but before that they went in cars. I remember them having to take a couple of cars, you know, for the whole team before they got the bus service.
So just the team went in?
Just the team.
With the cars.
Mm-hmm. Others went and they had to take their own cars.
Okay. Now, we'd like to know a little bit about the size of the classes that you got here, when you were here, especially in the earliest part of your teaching, how large were the classes at that time?
Well, the smallest I had was 10. And then usually it would run about 15 for several years. And then then when they had the bus service, well then I'd ask them 25.
What about hot lunches while you were here? Did you have hot lunches or did they start?
Well, they first started when Phyllis Lynn was upstairs, and she'd make this big pots of soup, you know, and bring it down to the lunchroom.
What was before this then? Was she teaching?
She was the home ec teacher.
She made the lunches?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For the children. I mean, they didn't all eat here either. A lot of them that lived in the community would go home.
Did they charge for this thing?
No, I don't remember if they did or not. I imagine they did, though. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when the regular hot lunch program came in and what it was like?
Most of the lunchroom, we always had the lunch duty, and we had to take care of
each teacher had their turn.
Yes, and the whole school, you know, the high school would be in there, and that would be that was when they'd bring their own lunch though, and they had to stay there for 15 minutes after they ate before they could go out. But
did they have any problems keeping them there? Were there any discipline problems?
Well, Mrs. Magnuson said she only had one that insisted he wasn't going to stay there for 15 minutes. So I don't know. She kept him there anyway.
Okay. I'd like to go back a little bit to the idea of teaching different generations of the same family. I want you to think back and see if you can remember any specific families that you taught more than one generation of.
Well, I remember the Moody family the most because the children had personalities that just fit into the programs. I mean, they had a good sense of humor, and they'd do anything I told them to do. Now, there was Frank, and then he had young Frank, and they were two that were alike, and there was... there was two generations there, and then I had Helen Moody, and it's kind of nice when you're teaching, when you know, especially when you give piano lessons, and then you see them working it out in their own life. So she's teaching kindergarten and plays the piano. And then there was Lynn Moody. She was always good in her parts. And the Nelson family I enjoyed a lot too. Kenny Nelson and Marion Nelson, and I think Marion, I had her the first year I was here. But I don't think I've had any in the second generation there. They all moved away. And the Sherholm, that you know, they were always nice. Of course, how about yourself?
Okay.
Now you have. Jeff, I sure enjoyed Jeff, and what was the one that
Jody was?
Jody.
She was in
Judy.
She was in the Grinch that stole Christmas.
Yeah, and then she was in the one where we had the music, and she had the song on the stage.
Okay.
And she let us borrow her sailor dress for Robert Jacobs.
All right. Okay. All right. So. I was your student and my children were your students.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, you've got just about an hour's tape on there.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you need a wrap up? Or do you want me thanking her? Or
okay. Is there anything else in there, Ms. Lisa?
She's going to leave that with us.
Yeah.
For when
I mean, is there anything in there now that you think we ought to talk about?
Well, I'll think all kinds of things when I go home. No, I won't
keep
tonight. Well,
that's okay. We'll have you. We'll have somebody come over. What we have is some eighth graders that are going to be assigned to people.
Oh, I see.
And not being on tape, I think will be a little easier. Just being tape recorded rather than filmed is a little bit easier.
Kind of
not so much on the spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, you think about those things and we'll have someone, you know.
Well, that's it. Now, Mrs. Magnuson and I get together quite often and we
talk. Well, you know,
there's another one.
When you send that person out to tape Mrs. Gleason, why don't you invite Mrs. Magnuson over?
I will. I called her yesterday and I thought, well, it just might be that you might have called some other teacher. She would love to have come too. She lived out here.
Yeah,
you know.
She lived out here. Maybe we can do that.
Well,
one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I forgot the name.
No, I think we could, you know, I think we'd like to see Mrs. Magnuson have her. Maybe she could come.
You know, she might be willing to come into your classroom.
That's what I thought. Maybe I'll give her a call and ask her to. Maybe I could do a live one.
I was thinking of my Uncle George, but he's a little.
He didn't die either.
Is he?
You had me.
I think of him a lot tonight.
I think I would like to go and talk to him or bring him.
I thought I was going to Wacko.
If I can get him to come here, I'd have to get him for once. He doesn't drive.
No, he said he doesn't.
The George's mother, or George's wife died, right?
Yes, he didn't die.
Sure. Because he's telling me he died, and I had it all screwed up.
But like I said, he has moments where he repeats a lot of things since his wife died.
Yeah, I think he failed. Because I was out there. I had painted a picture for his wife. She wanted a special picture for some place in that room. So I had it all ready, and I was going to bring it up. That's when I still had the car, and it was a rainy, bad day. So I said to my mother, I said, well, I think I'll wait till tomorrow. And then her mining journal came, and there was in the paper that Mert had died, you know. So I didn't know whether I should go back, you know, take it or not, you know. But he wanted the picture. So I've seen him a couple of times.
I think I'll come to him and say, maybe I can do a live interview there and then stop at points, you know, and use it as a
teacher. She would remember. And, you know, she keeps a diary. She's kept the diaries. And I don't know when she could tell you what the weather was way back. Pat used to ask her, well, what kind of weather did we have then? You know. So she'd know all about that snowstorm.
Okay, I'm going to do that. Because I wrote with her, so I feel like I could.
Is that good enough then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
That's a real love.
Would it be all right if you take her? Do you want me to bring her home?
No, I'd like her.
Well, why don't you take her?